Good morning. Merry Christmas to you as well. There will be no home group, craft group or church cafe this week. Next Sunday's service will be led by John Pang and will include communion. And worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Seeing as there's a lot of people taking part this morning that don't normally take part, and today's service will be recorded and put on the church website, if anyone does not want to take part, or they not take part, want you to take part, if you don't want to be online on the website, please see Dave Lee and he'll ensure your part is removed from the recording before being uploaded. The church cafe will be running again next year, and we need additional help in the kitchen for Friday morning cafe. If you can help and are willing to be included on the rota to prepare tea, coffee and toast, please see Helen Lee for further details. We've had a message from Majid. Do you remember Majid? Came to us with nothing from abroad. He's wishing us a Merry Christmas, my dear friends, and all members of our dear church family. I wish you a Christmas full of joy and blessings, full of peace and the love of Christ. I really miss the love, kindness and that beautiful fellowship we had with each other. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart for all your love and attention. With love and warm hugs, Majid. So that's nice, isn't it? They're all the notices for this morning, and I'll hand over to Helen. Thank you.
So you've probably guessed that a lot of people are taking part this morning, so it's very different, and we'll see what happens, shall we, as we go along. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, "Our help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." So let's worship God together as we sing 409 in the book or on the screen, "O come, let us adore him." Wonderful things can happen, you know, and so Audrey has got a microphone at the back and she's going to lead us in prayer now. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we have come here today to give praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for each and every one of us, especially during this festive season. We think of the food we ate, when we know that so many people in war-torn countries especially have neither food nor drink, and the presents we exchanged and the people we shared these things with. We bring them to you, Lord. But as we sit here quietly with our own thoughts, we think back to the most wonderful gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ born in that lowly stable. And help us, Lord, never to lose sight of that amazing event and all that has followed on since. As we approach 2026, we pray that you will continue your walk with us, helping us to know your presence as we go along that pathway that you laid out for us all those years ago. We know, Lord, that there are many people who are ill or have different other things to worry about, suffering in some other way. And we bring them all to you, knowing that you will be listening to these prayers and offering them up to you. And as we offer these prayers up, let us say the prayer together that our Lord Jesus Christ taught. And on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So, what an incredible journey God's Son Jesus made that first Christmas morning, coming all the way from heaven to earth to be with us. I wonder if you've ever made a long journey to be with someone. Maybe some people have travelled across the sea and in an aeroplane this week to be with their family. Lots of different things. But have you ever made a journey? Well, if I make a journey, maybe I take a bag like this or a case and put things inside it. So let's have a look. Wow, this is really nice. You'd want one if you could see, and I'll show you. Wow, isn't this nice? Really sparkly. Now I'll tell you, this isn't mine, but it does belong to someone who comes to this church. And I asked if I could borrow it just to imagine what you might put in your case if you went to stay with people. Because, you know, this person thinks they're going to have a party, don't they? They're going to have a great time. So that's one thing. Something to wear at the party. But when Jesus came to earth for that very first Christmas, he didn't come wearing his best clothes, his kingly robes, or a crown. The first line of a carol we sing says, "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me." Jesus came to earth as a baby to live among us. Right, what else is in this case? Oh, yummy. Chocolate chip and orange shortbread rounds. They're nice, aren't they? It looks like this person's brought something to put on the table to share. Something special for Christmas. When Jesus came to earth, there was no big celebration, no big table with all the poshest food you can imagine on it. He was born in poverty, in a room where animals were kept, where his bed was a feeding trough. Oh, pair of slippers. They brought their slippers with them. Maybe this person is hoping to find time to put their feet up and relax a bit. It's good, we all like doing that, don't we? We like working hard, we like relaxing, do a bit of everything. When Jesus came to earth, he said in Matthew 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve." I think I've got one more thing in my suitcase. Some gifts. Looks like these are the gifts of the people they're staying with. When Jesus came to earth, he came with a special gift for each one of us. What an incredible journey that was that God's Son made from the glory of heaven to the darkness of earth. Jesus came partly for the same reason that your friends and family come to see you. Why do they come? They come because they love you. And Jesus came because he loves us so much. Jesus came because God the Father loves each one of us, and we are deeply precious to him. And he loves us with an unconditional love. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus came to give you and me the precious gift of becoming a child of God. And we're invited to become members of his family and enjoy a life-giving relationship with him that's not just for now or for tomorrow or for next week. The wonderful thing is that relationship with him goes on forever and ever without end. And that's the wonderful thing. Right, get back to my other piece of paper. And so now we're going to sing 555 in the book, the one that I talked about, "Thou didst leave thy throne." We're just singing three verses. "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me."
Good morning, everybody. You know I hate doing this. I'm not very good at speaking out, but I'm going to do my best. I've been asked to say a few words of encouragement for the coming year. I'm not going to write a monologue, as my dad used to say. I'm just going to be me, with all my faults and failings, accepted by Christ and loved just as I am. I gave my life to Christ in 1974, a long while ago. But I've never regretted it, and at the time, little did I know what life was going to throw or send my way. Today is a time of reflection and also gratitude for all the good things that have happened in my life. Next year, I'm going to try and give time to anyone who may need it, show love and compassion, and know it's okay with God to be different, but to know we're all part of God's jigsaw. We all have a place to fit. It's lovely to be here today to just stop, rest and reflect. If there's a job needs doing, let's try and do it. We all need to help one another. If we want to move forward next year, we've got to help. And please remember the food bank, because winter's not even started yet and people are going to need the food. Thank you. With God's love, we can all go forward together in 2026. In God's love and as a loving family. Amen.
Good morning. Some of you may remember that I read from this little book called God's Love for You by Helen Steiner Rice before. So it's no surprise I've chosen another piece, as I find her words quite profound. It's called Blessings in Everything. I can just find it. Right. Blessings come in many guises that God alone in love devises, and sickness, which we dread so much, can bring a very healing touch. For often on the wings of pain, the peace we sought before in vain will come to us with sweet surprise, for God is merciful and wise. And through long hours of tribulation, God gives us time for meditation. And no sickness can be counted a loss that teaches us to bear our cross. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now, we all have ups and downs in our life, but we sometimes forget to give thanks for our blessings. So count your blessings and praise the Lord that he has given them to us. Amen. Amen.
And so we'll have the offering next, but we're going to sing one that will come up on the screen. If you have the book, it's 298, Jesus' Name Above All Names. And we'll sing this while the offering's being taken.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these gifts, Lord, and other gifts that have been given, Lord, through various other means, and the gift of worship also, Lord. And we pray that we will use these gifts to the benefit of your kingdom in this church for the future. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi. A while ago, I'm always reader, I like to read, and a while ago I read a beautiful account where God answers prayers in a miraculous way. And God always will answer our prayers in his good and perfect time. And this not just applies to this little story which I'm going to read, but to each and every one of us. And the title for this story is called God's Angels Watch Over You and Over Me. And besides having a title, it also has a promise where God's word is put into action. And this one is found in Psalm 91, verse 11, and it reads, "For God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And as I just said, it applies to each and every one of us. And I like to read this account. A college professor once took a group of students to China for a field trip. Several days into the journey, the professor experienced unimaginable stomach pain and was rushed by ambulance to a local clinic. It was a tiny town, and the medical staff in charge of the clinic observed that the professor's appendix had ruptured. Poison was spreading all through his body, but since there were no surgeons around, there wasn't much that could be done for him. The professor went into convulsions and in and out of consciousness. However, back home in America, during a church service, the professor's father, a pastor, began to feel an extraordinary burden for his son. He said to the congregation, "We must stop what we're doing and pray for my son. Something awfully is wrong." So back in China, it was now 2 o'clock in the morning when suddenly one of the country's most famous surgeons walked into the clinic. And it is the very surgeon who normally only travels with the U.S. staff or any other diplomatic staff when they visit China. The staff was amazed to see him. "I'm here to take care of the American," the surgeon said. And he operated on him and saved the professor's life. The next day, the surgeon said to the professor, "Who were those two men you sent into my office?" The professor smiled and replied, "I didn't send anybody to you. I don't know anybody here in China." The surgeon puzzled and he said, "That's odd, because they said you were a very important person and I needed to operate on you." So God's word that says he will order his angels to protect you wherever you are and wherever you go just applies not only to him, but to you and to me. And each and every one of us, you and me, is as an individual, we are very important to God. God, our Heavenly Father, who hears our very prayers. And we are his beloved children. You are his beloved son, and you are his beloved daughter. And therefore, we can say with confidence, "I am his beloved child, and he knows me by name. My Father in heaven not just shall, but he will order his angels to protect me wherever I am in all that concerns me. So be blessed abundantly always, and have a happy new year."
When Helen asked for contributions for today's service, I think she was expecting a reading or a prayer, a testimony or maybe a solo. You're not getting a solo. So instead, I'm going to talk about briefly about books. Ever since I was small, I have loved books and reading. When I was very young, and whenever I wanted to hear a story, my mum always took the time to sit down and read to me, even if I asked for the same favourite story again and again. Sometimes she'd try and skip a page, but I always stopped her and turned the page back. I wanted the whole story, not just selected bits. A famous author once said, "The more you read, the more you'll know. And when you learn more, you'll really go places. Reading is essential if you want to rise above the ordinary." I continue to enjoy and read books to this day. I like words, correct grammar, origins of words, and most of all, proper use of the apostrophe. At school, I was the best at spelling, and if anyone uses a word or phrase in the wrong context, even today, I can't stop myself from correcting them. Nowadays, I mainly read murder mysteries, usually a series of stories with a particular handful of regular go-to authors. and part of a book exchange with one or two other people here. I see books as escapism. I let my imagination form my own picture of the main character, around what they or their surroundings might look like. The author and producer, George R. R. Martin, said, "A reader can live 1,000 lives before he dies, but the man who never reads lives only one." But there's also one other book that I like to read, and that book is the Bible. This book has it all. It starts with the creation, the beginning of time, finishing with the end of time, the final judgment. It's historical, but it's not exclusively a history book. It introduces philosophy and describes the laws of the time. It talks of subjects studied by scientists. It describes nations by their geographical situation and character. It contains poetry and psalms, letters and biographies. It tells of sacrifices, injustices, murders, wars, armies, romance and love songs. There are stories of kings, queens, prophets and prophecies, births, deaths, celebrations and festivals, parables and miraculous works of faith. Some may even say it's a travel guide. If you were to follow St. Paul's ministry, you could journey around the Mediterranean to places like Athens, Rome, Cyprus and Malta, and all without leaving the comfort of your armchair. Factually, the Bible contains 66 different books written by approximately 39 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, and yet it all fits together to give a true picture of God. Put simply, the Bible is a book about God and what he is like. It is also a book about people and how we should be. It is a way of developing a personal relationship with God, essential for spiritual growth and moral guidance. And of course, it is about the life and teaching of Jesus. We can also be very certain that everything written within these pages is true, because all scripture is inspired by God. So, if you have never had much interest in reading, may I suggest you start to explore this one book in 2026. According to statistics, around 100 million copies of the Bible are sold or distributed every year, and it is the world's bestseller. It's a literary masterpiece, and once you have delved into its pages and want to learn more, then why don't you join the house group in the new year? Everyone's welcome, and it's just one evening a month. But it's not just a study. There's a social aspect to the group as well, usually ending with a natter over a cup of tea and a biscuit. So do think about it, but do more than that. Give it a go. I look forward to seeing you there.
At the last Friday morning cafe, we had a little bit of a party, and a few people decided to get together and sing. And so they're going to do that this morning, lead us in a song.
Join in if you know it, even if you don't. Right, ready?
Yep.
Save her of the world. Probably fed up for me over the last few weeks. I want to talk about something that is part of me and I'm going to share with you, and you probably know it already actually. You probably guessed it, I'm a bit of a worrier and an anxious person. If you don't, well, you know now. And it doesn't sit well with me. And every Christmas time I reflect on it, and every new year I reflect on it. So I just thought I'd share with you some of the things, because I'm sure we all worry at some times. And when Jeff gave the sermon or the talk on Christmas Day, I thought, oh, I wonder if Mary worried about that message. What about Joseph when he had that message? Oh, what about the journey? And I'm thinking of all the things that worry me. And I'm thinking, did they think, what would have happened if they were stuck in that worry circle? Anyway, I often suffer in silence and I feel guilty, and I worry, as the Bible tells us not to worry. And I'm sure we know those familiar passages, and I often go back to them. And I always remember at one time when I was in Zoom over COVID, and Nicola, if you remember Nicola, she came to Chris Dingle. She said, I was having a bit of trauma and this going on. She said, but I stopped and I laid all my worry at God's feet. Particular times are a worry for me. Christmas, you know, all the lists, holidays, when you're making your list of what you're putting in your suitcase, like Helen did, the busyness of the world. And I want to take control. I'm a bit of a control freak. I don't need God's help. And then when things seem out of control and worries right up here, I stop and I ask God for help. Why don't I do this in the first place? My question is, do you? I'm aware that God isn't my first response. God isn't always there all the time for me. He's my last resort, and he shouldn't be. And I'm working on this. And as we reflect on Christmas and we look forward to the new year, I've been pondering and chewing these things over in my mind. And I've refamiliarised myself, if that's a word, Avril, I'm not sure. But I've been refamiliarising myself with the passages, Matthew 6:25-34. So you might want to look at that when you get home. And also Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the Matthew section, Jesus spoke about the futility of worry and offered us some insights to help us win the battle with worry. Understand that worry won't change anything. That's really hard for me. Not only does worry not change anything, it always adds unnecessary stress to our day. We're encouraged to trust in God's provision for our needs. It's not a call to irresponsibility, but trust in God's provision. Shift from worry to trust. Learn to live one day at a time. This doesn't mean we shouldn't plan for the future, but it means we shouldn't worry over it. A quote I read says, planning for today is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Floating worries are hypothetical. What ifs about tomorrow? Commit not to try and solve them, and believe that God will take care of our needs. God not only knows our needs, he is more than able to take care of them. We are much more valuable to him than birds or flowers, and that's what the passage says. So what should we do first? What should I do first? I'm telling myself this. Seek God first. By following the advice of Jesus, we can win the battle over worry. Faith in him will sustain us in every challenge that we face. The Bible is filled with promises of God's love and presence, especially in dark times. Verses such as Isaiah 14:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God," offer reassurance of God's constant presence and support. Cast all your anxiety on God, because he cares for us. My closing thought is, don't let the worries of tomorrow hinder our expectancy in God today. So remember that as you move forward. Thank you. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I want to begin by saying how grateful I am for this community and for everyone here. Your support and prayers truly mean so much to me. This year began with a lot of stress for us. For 6 long months, we waited for our visa, not knowing what the future would bring. Then in autumn, we faced another difficult wait for the certificate of sponsorship. Time was running out, and just 1 week before the deadline, we applied. By God's grace, I received a positive reply in only 3 days. It felt like a miracle and truly the most beautiful gift just before Christmas. We were also blessed in another way. My parents received their tourist visa. They got their tourist visas and were able to come and visit us. Having them with us again filled our hearts with joy and reminded us how precious family is. There was another moment that touched me deeply. At work, my head boss came to observe my lesson without saying me in advance. A month passed and I almost forgot about it. Then she told me she had observed the entire team. My colleagues all received comments regarding their work, but when we had a meeting, she said, "I have no comments. You do everything perfectly. Keep going." I was deeply moved. I had thought that I was invisible, that others were more noticed than me, but in that moment, I realized that faithfulness and quiet effort are seen and valued. So, although 2025 was a difficult year, the way it ended filled my heart with gratitude, peace, and renewed strength. It reminded me that even in seasons of waiting and struggle, God is working behind the scenes. Today, I want to encourage all of us to be thankful every day for the big miracles and for the quiet blessings we sometimes forget to notice. Thank you, and may God bless you all. Amen.
It's lovely to see you here, and it's nice to be part of our church family today. We're so pleased to have you with us. I have said this at the front before, but it was a few years ago, so there may be people here who haven't heard it, but I wonder what you do with your old Christmas cards. You don't have to tell me. You probably don't want to tell me what you do with your old Christmas cards. We're told to recycle them and that. But I'll tell you what I think is the most wonderful idea that I've ever heard. And it wasn't my idea, so I can brag about it. It's nothing to do with me. It's something I've seen. We went to visit my in-laws a few years ago, and it was probably February time, and they just had one Christmas card up. And I said, "Do you know you've left a Christmas card up?" And they said, "Well, yes." So they take them down, put them in a pile when Christmas is finished, and each day they take one off the top of the pile and put it up. And they pray for that person that day. And then they recycle it. So I've taken that on board. I put mine up in the kitchen because that's where I am most of the time. And I do it now with birthday cards. Whatever cards come, they go in the pile. And sometimes, maybe when I do pray, I think, oh, I haven't prayed, so I'll leave it up another day. So sometimes it might be 2 or 3 days if I just go past it and don't see it. So I've still got some from birthdays and that in the pile now. So it's just an idea to recommend to you. Someone has gone out and bought the card, they've written it, they've thought who to send it to, they've thought about you, otherwise your name wouldn't be on it, and then they've either delivered it or posted it. Isn't that worth a prayer? It's so much, isn't it? But I can tell you, because it wasn't my idea, and I think it's a great idea. So we're nearly at the end now, but we are going to have a video, and it's called Christmas is Done. And it's sort of just
well,
where we
it.
Are now.
Christmas is done. Said goodbye to family and all the festive fun. Eat way too much food. Please, no more snacks. It's a new year, a new me, so it's time to come back. I've made myself a promise, I'm gonna get fitter. Let's go to the gym, this year I won't be a quitter. I'm thinking a 6-month membership, 8 days a week, lifting and running to put me in peak condition. I'll eat less, skip on the chocolate, then I can save a few pennies for the wallet. I know, I'll go vegan, maybe that resolution I'll keep, or I save my Burger King order to 1, maybe 2 days a week. I'm gonna organise myself better, get into routine, spend more time with family instead of in front of a screen. I'll spend less money, I'll save more, travel more, read more, sleep more. I'll make more promises that I can't keep more. My New Year's resolutions are great for a week, but the truth is, these are empty promises. Truth is, by February, my diet will be gone, my gym membership wasted, and I'll be back to being on a screen all day frustrated. These promises show me what I want to be, but not what I am. They show me an ideal, not a real picture. These New Year's resolutions don't help me. They're a promise I can't keep. I long for a promise that makes me feel better, not a New Year's resolution that makes me its debtor. And when I look to myself, it's not something I find, because when I look to myself, I make myself blind to the world around me that shows a promise spoken, that even inside a world that's so broken, there's a God who loves me, one who's in control. And while the failure in me scores an own goal, he's right there beside me. His rescue is promised, and he doesn't break it, because God's not dishonest. He sends his son so that I can be free. His message, hope, is not found in me, but in him. He promises a future day with no pain, with no gym needed, no stressy weight gain. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds great. So why not this new year do more than just fake? Don't aim for the hopeless, endless resolution. Look to Jesus, the real promise solution.
So before our last song, thank you all for being here today, and thank you for taking part as well. It's good to be part of this family where each one of us can do different things. Our thoughts are different, and we can all bring something together. And let's remember what Jackie said, you know, about helping one another, look out for one another, and let's build each other up and bring this church just walking closer with God every day. So we're going to have the last song now, and it's 120 in the book, if you have the book. From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. Peace. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And as we leave this church today, may we shine the love of Jesus into the world. Amen.